Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org. This episode is titled Time in Eternity. Here is Neon Emerson Chase.
Now, how can we creatures of time be part of eternity? How can we be eternal when it's so obvious that we definitely have a limit on our time here on Earth? As we grow older, most of us humans become aware of how short our time really is, how much more quickly time seems to pass. When we are children and youth, we seem to perceive time as often passing very slowly. It seems to take forever to get somewhere on a trip or to grow up so that we can do what we want to do, you know, like those grown-ups get to do. The Urantia book, which was gifted to us humans by celestial personalities who are of Urantia and spirit form and consciousness, refers to us mortals as having time-bound and space-fettered minds. We humans here in this community often use the term at this moment in time and space. We also refer off to being in God's timetable rather than our own, and living in God's timing rather than our own. The Urantia book states a few times that Jesus never seemed to be in a hurry. Now, what in the heck does that mean? I used to have a terrible habit of constantly rushing around, thinking that I had to make every moment count. I had a long list of things to do, and since I had so much to do, I had to rush around getting everything done. Because I was so strongly rushing around in my agenda, being on my timetable, I am pretty sure that I missed out on benefiting from blessings that were there waiting to be experienced by me. Because I was so busy rushing within my own timing, I missed out on many opportunities to reach out to others, to spend some quality time with others. I was too busy getting things done. I didn't really see people. Sure, I noticed them, but I didn't see them. Therefore, I wasn't able to really appreciate and enjoy them and love them in the way that I think God wanted me to love them. In my making every minute count within my timetable and within my rushing, I developed a lot of unnecessary stress. I used to suffer from hypertension, which I think is one of the modern-day diseases of a fast-paced society. Now, I've slowed down and flow much more smoothly within a day. Part of that is, I don't like to call it the aging process, I like to call it the becoming wise and mature process. But the vehicles that we inhabit, as we become wiser and more mature, they slow down too. It's a real gift in a way. But hopefully I'm more aware of being in God's timetable rather than my own. People and situations that used to stress me a lot or get a charge out of me don't seem to have that kind of impact on me anymore. I've mellowed out a lot. Though I still need to mellow out some more. I still rant and rave and get frustrated. Though I also still allow myself at times to be in too much of a hurry, too attached to my timetable rather than God's, I have grown quite a bit and I'm much more mindful of walking moment to moment in God's timing rather than my own. I hope that I am more like Jesus in his not being in a hurry. I used to identify more with Lazarus' sister Martha. Now I think that I'm more like Mary, Lazarus' younger sister. We are told in the Urantia book, and this is also in the New Testament of the Bible, but in the Urantia book, we're told that for years it had been the custom for Lazarus, Martha, and Mary to drop everything and listen to Jesus' teaching whenever he chanced to visit them. But with the loss of their parents, Martha had assumed the responsibilities of home life and was much busier with those responsibilities and functions during a time when Jesus stayed with them for a few days in the midst of his public ministry. On this occasion, while Lazarus and Mary sat at Jesus' feet, drinking in his refreshing teaching, Martha made ready to serve the evening meal. It should be explained that Martha was unnecessarily distracted by numerous needless tasks and that she was cumbered by many trivial cares. That just was her disposition. How many of you can relate to Martha? And men, you can relate to Martha too. It's being distracted by a lot of trivial things. How many of you get so caught up in your responsibilities that they become more important than they actually should be? And is it because in your ego, you've become too attached to them? How many of you have trivial items floating around in your time-fettered minds? Back to this occasion with Jesus teaching in the home of these three siblings. As Martha busied herself with all these supposed duties, she was perturbed because Mary did nothing to help. Therefore, she went to Jesus and said, "Master, do you not care that my sister had left me alone to do all of the serving? Will you not bid her to come and help me?" And Jesus answered, "Martha, Martha, why are you always anxious about so many things and troubled by so many trifles? Only one thing is really worthwhile, and since Mary has chosen this good and needful part, I shall not take it away from her. But when will both of you learn to live as I taught you, both serving in cooperation and both refreshing your souls in unison? Can you not learn that there is a time for everything, that the lesser matters of life should give way before the greater things of the heavenly kingdom?" So Jesus had a beautiful teaching there, not only about priorities and how we should spend our time. We, of course, have lots of mundane responsibilities that we have to do. We're responsible for them. We've got a big family. We've got to take care of them, etc., etc. But when people become in unison and together in cooperation, work together, those mundane things can get done more quickly. And then together in unison, you can get on to some of those things of eternal value. Now, as I continue to ascend, my ideas of time continue to change. And how I spend my time has changed. My priorities have changed because I am more mindful of being in the eternal present. Think for a second. How have your own perceptions of time changed? How have your priorities changed? How do you spend your time now that is different than maybe a year or two ago? Sometimes when you look back, you get a little embarrassed at how important certain things used to be and how much time you'd spend on it, and you've outgrown it now. In his discourse on time and space, found on pages 1438 to 1440, in the Urantia book, Jesus explains that as we time-bound mortals ascend in our finite understanding of reality, our views of time change. We move from thinking in just a linear fashion to a more cyclical pattern. Jesus explained to his Indian friends, Ganad and Ganyad, animals do not sense time as do mortals. And even to mortals, because of their sectional and circumscribed view, time appears as a succession of events. But as a person ascends, as he or she progresses inward, the enlarging view of this even procession is such that it is discerned more and more in its wholeness. That which formerly appeared as a succession of events then will be viewed as a whole and perfectly related cycle. In this way will circular simultaneity increasingly displace the one-time consciousness of the linear sequence of events. Now, as I've grown and expanded, becoming more spiritized in my understanding of reality, I have noticed that how I view my past, my personal history, has changed. I don't see it chronologically like I used to. I don't see my past as a succession of temporal events segregated and compartmentalized. In reviewing my life, I now see everything that I've experienced as in some way being interrelated. There is a synchronicity that has been present throughout my whole life, a thread of divine personality present that has coordinated with me, whether I was conscious at the time of that coordination or not. I definitely now see my personal history more as an ever-expanding circle rather than a timeline of events. I see people from my past whom I used to resent or think they had betrayed me or damaged me in some manner. I see them now in a completely different manner. I don't see myself anymore as victimized by them. In my process of reconciliation, rehabilitation, and healing, I have outgrown my attachments to giving power to feeling hurt by someone else. I have unfolded into easily forgiving and sincerely desiring the highest good for all persons who've been in my life. For I see them now as beloved children of God who are outworking their own destinies as potential eternal beings. And I truly believe that is the destiny for every single human being, whether it happens here on this world or when they graduate and pass on, that they will begin to see their past and their personal history in a different way, more in a circular way rather than a linear way, and won't feel so victimized and hurt by those past things. In his discourse on time and space, Jesus also says that as we move on from one level to another, our minds enlarge and change as we grow. When talking of levels, I'm referring to our geographic space travels and ascension, as well as inwardly in our personal consciousness on this world and beyond. Jesus states, the time-space concept of a mind of material origin is destined to undergo successive enlargements as the conscious and conceiving personality ascends the levels of the universes. What does ascending the levels of the universes mean? I don't want to get into a detailed description of our ascension through the universes of time and space, of ever-enlarging finite understanding into the Havona worlds of absonite reality and on to the absolute levels of paradise. But needless to say, it is very big and very cosmic. And our understanding of God, of our destinies as ascending sons and daughters of the Universal Father, of our reality right now at this moment in time and space, can become very big, very cosmic. Jesus goes on to explain, when mortals attain the mind intervening between the material and the spiritual planes of existence, their ideas of time-space will be enormously expanded, both as to quality of perception and quantity of experience. The enlarging cosmic conceptions of an advancing spirit personality are due to augmentations of both depth of insight and scope of consciousness. In other words, as our finite, time-bound, and space-fettered minds enlarge in our understanding of God's awesome truth, beauty, and goodness, we become more aware of our cosmic citizenship, and we become more aware and conscious of God the Supreme, the actuating and evolving God of time and space. We become more aware of our cosmic duty to God the Supreme, for as we unfold, He unfolds. Now that's being in the eternal moment. In the Hindu tradition, the idea of unfolding into our wholeness and into our realness as children of God is compared to the unfolding of a lotus blossom. For us desert dwellers, I like to use the agave plant as the symbol of unfoldment into our real identity within our God-given personality circuitry. Next time you are out walking in the desert where agaves happen to grow, take note especially of the young agave plants that literally unfold leaf by spiny leaf as they grow into the huge plants that grace us with their flaming flowered stalks at the end of their lives. If you look closely at the agave, whether in its young stage of development or more at the end of its time, you can see on each hard thorned leaf the imprint of the leaf that had been resting against it before that leaf unfolded. How do we spend our time if we are unfolding into being mindful of being in the eternal moment? How do we spend our time in socializing with others? I like to pull from the life and teachings of Jesus as found in the last section of the Urantia book, because Jesus knew how to spend his time in the highest way, in the eternal moment. Again, in his discourse on time and space, Jesus explained a 17-year-old Gainan, become interested in your fellows. Learn how to love them and watch for the opportunity to do something for them, which you are sure they want done. And then he quoted the olden Jewish proverb, a man who would have friends must show himself friendly. Jesus' simple advice to Gainan addresses real friendship, real love and concern in divine pattern. You truly come to know the individual, to see them, and you are of service to them. You do loving and helpful things for them. That kind of friendship is not based on getting from others, but from giving to others. Here in Global Community Communications Alliance, we refer to our gathering together in unity to carry out this great work for the world as divine administration. There are divine administration principles implemented throughout all of the grand universe. What is the underlying foundation for all decisions made within divine administration procedures on the absolute level of paradise, the absonite level of the Havona worlds, and the finite levels in the super universes of time and space, including our world, known as Urantia among the celestials. What is that underlying foundation? Well, in his discourse on political sovereignty, found on pages 1487 to 1490 of the Urantia book, Jesus states, "Religious teachers must always remember that the spiritual sovereignty of God overrides all intervening and intermediate spiritual loyalties. Someday, civil rulers will learn that the Most High's rule in the kingdoms of men. This rule of the Most High's in the kingdoms of men is not for the especial benefit of any especially favored group of mortals. There is no such thing as chosen people. The rule of the Most High's, the over-controllers of political evolution, is a rule designed to foster the greatest good to the greatest number of all persons and for the greatest length of time." Talk about an ideal. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every government, whether it's a national government or a state-level government, county-level, city-level government, their rule was designed to foster the greatest good to the greatest number of all persons and for the greatest length of time? Wouldn't that be wonderful? In other words, as we individuals become more spiritized in our own minds, in our thinking, feeling, and doing, we become more present in the eternal moment. We view time, past, present, and future from a more cosmic perspective, which includes a consciousness of a vast grand universe of myriads of celestial beings, all working together within divine administration principles that are founded on love, the universal Father's love. In teaching about how to spend our time, Jesus encourages each of us to develop habits that contribute to our entire well-being, our physical well-being, our psycho-spiritual well-being. These include habits that aid us in becoming more spiritized in our consciousness. The more spiritized we are, the more time we spend in the eternal moment, the less time-bound our minds become. The Greek philosopher of Jesus' time, Rodin of Alexandria, also spoke of developing strength-giving and worshipful habits. Think about your habits. Which ones keep you from becoming more mature and more healthy? Which ones help you become more spiritized? Jesus explains that it is our destiny as mortals to move from a mere self-conscious mind into a supermaterial mind, and then into a supermortal mind. In this progression of mind levels, we become more unified and more whole in our personality as we become more unified in our mind. We have within us the fragment of the Father, the Spirit of God, what Jesus referred to in his discourse on mind as the consciousness sorter and associator. Isn't that something? Animals don't have this aspect of spirit presence, though they do have some spirit influence within the lower adjutant mind spirits. In closing, I'd like for you to reflect upon your understanding of time in eternity in the next few days. Think about it. Look up at the stars. How do you see yourself within the eternal moment? How can you better spend your time to develop habits of true religious living and worship? Habits that can bring you into a more spiritized and loving state. How can you become a better friend with God and with others? Thank you.
Venetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org.